cycling podcast Femina in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You are listening to daily episodes of the cycling podcast Feminine from the OVO Energy Women's Tour, brought to you by Skoda. Dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with Rose Manley.
Hello, Richard.
And Orla Shinawee.
Hello.
Hello. Here we are on a Monday morning, early on a Monday morning.
It's really not that early. You two have been moaning about the time. It's like 8 o'clock, half 8.
What are we doing? Why are we convening at this time?
Because we're trying to squish in a cheeky little women's tour preview before heading off on the road tomorrow.
Because we're covering the women's tour.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Of course. But you'd already announced. Yes. So we hadn't announced that in this podcast. That's right. Because we're covering the women's tour. The car is out front, branded and ready to go. I've got my case packed. I don't know about you two. I'm a little bit enthusiastic.
Well, we couldn't
morning. We're following the bike race all the way through and podcasting every single day. So it's very exciting.
We are looking forward to that, indeed. Later in this episode, we will hear a couple of interviews that I'm doing later on after we've recorded this. So we'll hear from, among others, Kasia Niviadoma, last year's winner and the defending champion, of course, riding for Canyon-SRAM. So we're going to look ahead a little bit to the race, the course, and some of the teams and riders, and talk to you a little bit about how we're going to cover it. Are all three of us going to be there?
Yes.
Rose, are you going to be joining us?
I am.
Well, that's exclusive news even to me. I didn't know. Yay!
Have we hammered out a deal?
You know, something on the sly, isn't there? Yeah. Bit of cash under the table type deal, you know.
People will think you're serious.
You there is no cash.
Yeah.
Something under the Mars bar under the table.
Anyway, that's great news. So the three of us will be, we're giving the OVO Energy Women's Tour the Grand Tour treatment, is what we've said. We're covering it every day, which is the first time we've done that. And it's the 2-year birthday of the cycling podcast Femina as well.
Which I actually didn't realise until I listened to the main cycling podcast. I hadn't put that together.
I don't know the actual date, but
it's the month.
June 2016 was when we released the first one.
In my back garden 2 years ago, yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
So how here we far are. We've come, eh?
Yeah.
Well,
look at how grand a setting we're in now.
Should have been a coffee infused birthday cake here morning.
Should have done. Could we bring a birthday cake on the women's tour? Can we have a birthday celebration on the first night of the women's tour?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
The first thing about this preview episode that we should say is that the great news for listeners is there's no news roundup this episode.
I prepared a news roundup and everything.
Did you?
No, I didn't. Nah. I knew it was a preview episode. I'll have plenty to come. Imagine 5 days of Orla's news roundups.
Okay.
You can't wait.
Well, the tale of the stage doesn't sound quite so good.
No, we'll have to work out a better way of saying that. If anybody has any suggestions. Story of the stage is quite good. Yeah, if anybody wants to tweet us any suggestions for what we could call it, but story of the stage is quite good.
Well, one thing while I remember, obviously a lot of our listeners are in the UK and the Women's Tour may well be going very near your house. If you can tell us anything about the route or anywhere we're going or anywhere we're going near to that we don't know, or tell us about some connection to cycling, in any of these places where you live or know.
I should say we have done our research.
It's not like
we're going into this blind, but it's more that if it got anything quirky.
To tell us something that we don't know.
Yes.
No, just clarify.
Which will be plenty.
So tell us something quirky, tweet us or send us a Facebook message or email us contact@thecyclingpodcast.com and we'll hopefully get through some of those. Orla, what are you, I asked you both to come prepared with teams, riders, anything. What team and or rider are you sort of looking forward to seeing this week?
I have gone for Wiggle High Five. I think they've got a really good diverse team here. Lisa Brenner, obviously coming off the back of victory, which I would have mentioned in my news roundup had I been given the opportunity, but she did win the Turingen Ladies Tour. The second year in a row, she's only the second rider, I think, to have won that 2 years in a row. And she came second at a stage of Beira. She's a former Women's Tour champion as well, so I'll be interested to see what she does. They've also got Kirsten Wild, Elisa Longo-Borghini, Audrey Cordon-Rago, Annette Edmondson, and Katie Archibald is back after breaking her collarbone in two. Horrific crash in the... When did she crash? It was the
Tour of Yorkshire.
Tour of Yorkshire it was. So this is her first race back. So I'm looking forward to seeing the dynamic of that particular team. There's a lot of potential sprinting on offer. So they've got great options in there, really. So that's the team I'm going to be looking at for Wiggle High Five.
Well, we can't expect too much, presumably, from Katie Archibald, although...
No, but it'd just be nice to see her back.
There's a lot of broken collarbone returnees, like Mariana Voss is coming back from a broken collarbone and Jolene Dore is coming back from a broken collarbone. So it'll be interesting to see how these people that you normally expect quite a lot of will be performing after that injury.
I think Katie's role would always have been of super domestique more than anything anyway, unless you could go on a breakaway, which you wouldn't put past her.
Yeah, although last year, you know, she was up there, and watching her ride the women's tour last year with not that much experience on the road. I remember I spent a day in the WNT team car. They were talking about her there as being somebody who could win a race like that if the course was right. And in good form, the course might have been right for her this year. I did enjoy, there was an interview with Katie Archibald in the Sunday Times yesterday.
And I read that.
Rochelle Gilmore.
Can I just point out where it was positioned in the Sunday Times? It was just inside the back pages, on the same page as Lewis Hamilton and the Formula One Canadian Grand Prix coverage, which I thought was wonderful in terms of profile.
Yeah, absolutely. Rochelle Gilmore, the Wiggle High Five team owner, said that she'd wanted Katie Archibald since she started the team. The team was actually set up in 2012, and Katie Archibald took her first ever go on a track in August 2012. So that's remarkable.
2012's a long time ago. Memories can blur.
That's incredible talent spotting ability there by Rochelle. I wonder who she's looking at now who's not yet ridden on a track or a road. Anyway, an interesting team. I mean, we had an interview with Lisa Brenauer over the winter where she talked about her change of teams. Mm-hmm. It's taken a while for her to kind of click through the gears, but she's
that's
obviously
her first
going pretty
win
well.
For Wiggle High Five at Touring Good.
First ever winner of the women's tour, of course, Lisa Brenauer. No, she wasn't. She was second. Marianne Voss won the first one.
Yeah, she was 2015.
Yep. So, Rose, what about you?
Well, I was going to do the Daniel Freeb thing and go for an obscure Italian team, but
the Valcar.
I hope it comes with the requisite pronunciation.
Oh, yeah. Valcar. How Italian can you go over Valcar? No, I'm not going to pick Valcar, but I do think that they might appear in some of the sprints during this week. But I was going to pick Amy Peters because I think she flies under the radar quite a lot, but she's actually got, I think her first year as a pro was 2010, and she has a total of 9 pro wins, but 4 of those have come this season already. So I think she's having an absolutely stunning season, but probably because there's so many big names, big characters on Bowles Dolmans, I think people don't necessarily pick her out as the number one threat, even though they really should. She's a really fast finisher, but she can get over those climbs. And she won Ronde van Drenthe this year. And the nature in which she won it makes me think that she'll be really good. This course will really suit her because she absolutely, in the last kilometer, flew away from the other sprinters. And we're talking about people like Hosking and Rivera and Arlena Sierra, and could only take Alexis Ryan with her. And, you know, Alexis Ryan had no chance of getting past her. So I think, you know, it's very fast finisher, but can get over those climbs. I think she'll be really one to watch this week.
Would she be the supported sprinter in that team then?
Well, it's difficult to say, isn't it? Because, I mean, Chantal Blaak is also
Diederichsen as well.
Similar, and Diederichsen, but it depends if...
Typically strong team, really.
Yeah, I mean, of course, as always, but it depends how much Diederichsen is kind of let to go. And Amy Peters has won 2 stages at the women's tour before. So I think it's kind of, because it's kind of bumpy rolling, it's not completely flat. I think Diederichsen is great when it's completely flat. Because it's slightly rolling, I think Amy's got more chances during the week than Amelie, who might only have a good chance on the first day.
Well, the team I was going to pick was the team of the defending champion, Kasia Nevidoma, Kanya Schramm. It's a really interesting lineup. They've got Nevidoma, obviously. They've got the Barnes sisters, Hannah and Alice. Alice won a stage in Turingen last week, so she's obviously going well. And they've got Pauline Ferrand-Prevot just off the back of a mountain bike race. So she, I suspect, is coming in as a sort of helper deluxe for whoever needs help Deluxe. And we'll talk a bit about the course in the next part. It's very hard. Nobody would have predicted what happened last year when Nividoma took off on stage one and gained
We'll all be predicting it this year, though, won't we? Well, if it happens, oh yeah, we saw that one coming.
Yeah, but what happened last year was a very odd, and we went on day two, Orla, and the teams were still kind of scratching their heads, wondering what happened. And what happened was that everybody looked to Bulls Dolmans in particular, and Wiggle maybe to some extent too, to chase it down, and they didn't. And they all sort of gambled and lost.
Mm. And I remember speaking to, I think it was, I can't remember who it was on Bulls Dolmans team just afterwards. And she seemed quite annoyed that everybody had wanted Bulls Dolmans to do the work, because obviously if you are the dominant team, the responsibility tends to fall to you, but that doesn't take away the responsibility from the other teams. Mm. And she and the rest of the team seemed to say, well, hang on a minute, if you guys want it as much as we do, then we all have to work for it. And they just let it slip away by thinking that Bulls should be in control. Mm. Whether they'll make that mistake again, I would hope not.
I don't think Kasia even thought when she attacked that there was any way that she was going to get a gap that was going to sustain itself to the end.
But no, it was an unusual thing to happen. But they've brought an interesting team, because Nivea Doma, you expect her to be strong, but at the same time, not sure where she's going to win the race. The Barnes sisters, both good sprinters, but not pure sprinters. Not the kind of, Yulin Dur, Kirsten Veel type sprinters. So if they're going to win the race, they're going to have to do something quite creative with those riders and quite imaginative, I think. Hannah Barnes has been up there. She was on the podium last year. She might be their best bet going into it.
I think what will be interesting with Canyon Tram is that they will have to try to dominate racing to some extent, or control it to some extent, because they don't have necessarily the pure sprinters that some of the other teams do. I mean, you look at Mitchelton Scott with Julian Dora, you look at Ali Cipollini with Chloe Hosking. They will want to be going for a bunch sprint finish. The course can lend itself to that if the sprint teams take control of it, but Canyon Shram will want to have to try to avoid that, and so they will need to play this race tactically. And I hope we see a little bit of that, because Bulls Dolmans, arguably the same, maybe not to the same extent, but they will not necessarily want the pure fast riders to make it to the line, all in a line. So they'll have to try to control it in some way. We've got Corin Rivera's there as well for Team Sunweb. So we'll have to see more clever tactical racing this year, I think, to avoid bunch sprints every day.
So, Kasia, we're in Ipswich. Tomorrow the women's tour starts. You'll be pinning on number one. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it's obviously a great tour, and I love to be here. I love to race here, and every single stage is demanding and really hard one. So we've got a really nice team here, and I hope that we can play at different cards with different riders and just have a fun and with a pure race. So,
well, you've got a very interesting team. Obviously there are a few of you who could be potential winners. Is there a designated leader? Is that you as the defending champion, or are you keeping your options open?
For sure, I didn't come here thinking that I want to defend this title. I feel like once I won something, I don't feel I need to repeat that. I just want to enjoy racing, and of course, we have a really nice team, as you said, with many different options, and whoever wins, it's great for us. It's like if Pauline wins, or Hannah, or Alice, or the rest of the girls, it's the same as if I won. So for me, it's like great.
Last year was obviously quite surprising, the way the race panned out.
Yeah.
Expect anything like that this year? How do you see the race unfolding?
That's the cool thing about racing here in UK, that every single stage is unpredictable, and it's actually hard to tell if it's going to be a bunch sprint or if there will be a breakaway rider winning it. It's like, also we've got different teams here, and not like specifically who wants to like go for a sprint, but also they have different riders who can sprint and ride good up the hill. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting for sure.
What do you know about the course? Have you studied it?
Yeah, I just had a quick look. I didn't really study like every single climb, looking what it is and how steep it is, but just like saw the race book, and I think it's gonna be harder than last year. And yeah, the stages are long and demanding, and a lot of hills, which gonna like make us suffer for sure.
And how is your form this time compared to last year?
I feel strong. I've spent like almost entire May in Boulder on altitude, and I've been struggling there so much with every single training. I was like coming back dead and just not feeling well, and I was kind of doubting about my shape. But then once I gave myself a bit of rest, I started to feel that I'm growing into a power, and it gives me kind of confidence approaching this race. So yeah, I'm happy about being here and about my current shape, so should be all right.
Hi, my name's Sarah Story. I'm a cyclist with Story Racing, and I support Škoda's campaign to close the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time. When I ride a bike, I feel absolutely fantastic. It's just a complete freedom that you don't get with any other mode of transport. You don't have to be a training cyclist or a racing cyclist to enjoy being out on a bike. I love being able to explore the areas that I'm in by bike. You can see so much more than if you were using a car or a bus or on the train. That freedom, you just can't match it with any other mode of transport.
Thank you very much to Škoda, a new sponsor for the Cycling Podcast Femina, for this OVO Energy Women's Tour and for the rest of 2018. We're very grateful to them, and we're going to be enjoying driving around the country in their car.
I was very glad to see the size of the boot. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to take a decent sized suitcase with me on the road. I like to have a few options depending on the weather. I'll bring my running gear. I've got an exercise mat packed. So I'm glad the boot is big enough to hold my whole of belongings with us.
That's good. Any room for my stuff in there? Or...
You just wear your Pedaler to Charm t-shirt every day anyway.
Yeah,
so
true.
You don't really need much room.
Speaking of which, we are going to be giving a Pedaler to Charm t-shirt out on stages, let me think now, 2, 3, 4. Well, we've got 4 t-shirts, basically.
Well, shouldn't we leave one for stage 5, really?
We'll ask for nominations on stage 1 and do it from stage 1 onwards. So do send us your nominations for Pedaleuses de Charme, and we'll present those in the mornings. The course, we mentioned in the last part that, you know, there's a lot of good sprinters here, and there's a very good reason for that, because it does look like a lot of stages will suit sprinters. By the same token, there are some top riders missing. Annemiek van Vleuten, Anna van der Breggen, Ashley Moelman-Passio. I don't know about van der Breggen and van Vleuten, but I can imagine that they are missing for the same reason that Ashley Moelman is, which is Ashley Moelman, who's a great advocate for the Women's Tour and wrote a chapter in our book, actually, about how the Women's Tour has done so much more and is much better in so many ways than the Giro Rosa, which is coming up. But she's chosen the Giro Rosa this year to focus on because it's simply a better course for her. And, you know, a couple of years ago, the Women's Tour in 2016, when it was won by Lizzie Armitstead, it included some really challenging stages. There was one into Chesterfield in particular that was really hard, and that was the decisive stage in the race. It's difficult to see, looking at the course this year, which is going to be the decisive stage, but it is a shame that some of these top riders are missing. And if the Women's Tour wants to be the world's top women's stage race, they maybe have to look at the course and you know, make it a little bit harder.
Yeah, you mentioned those three riders. Amanda Spratt is another.
She's also going
rider,
to Giro,
not here, yeah. And they're the top 4 ranked riders in the world right now. So that is disappointing. On a plus, if we're to go below the top 4, then the next, well, the numbers 5 to 11 are all here, but 6 of the top 14 aren't riding in this race. So, I mean, it's disappointing in terms of calibre, certainly when you look at the Tour de Yorkshire, which attracted exactly those riders, and it wasn't a World Tour race. And some of the argument for that was that there was decent prize money on offer. Well, obviously, there's incredible prize money on offer at the Women's Tour, but not enough to entice them away from their training for the Giro Rosa, really. I mean, I was looking at the stage profiles, and there are only 2 Category 1 climbs throughout the 5 days, most of them in the middle at best. Stage 2, we do have a categorised climb just over 2 kilometres from the end, but it's not prohibitively difficult. A Category 3, I think that one is. So the sprinters teams could arguably hold that together.
Category 2, actually, that's Newnham Hill.
Category 2,
which does look quite hard, but yeah, I mean...
it's still controllable. It's so difficult as to rule out any sprinters teams by any stretch of the imagination. You know, a breakaway could get away, or the punchier teams could control it, but it certainly doesn't rule out sprints. And most of the others are all really in the middle. Like I say, just two category one climbs. And one of the things that Ashley Millman-Passio had said was that, for example, in 2016, the climbs were weighted towards the end of the race, which obviously then made it more of a challenge. And if you look at compare it with the Tour de Yorkshire, obviously the first stage was pancake flat pretty much for the sprinters, but the second stage of that had three categorised climbs, one at the start, 5 kilometres in, the penultimate was 17 kilometres from the end, and the last one was obviously at the finish. So that very much laid the ground for the climbers to be able to have their day. So yeah, it's something I think they'll have to look at if they want to attract the breadth and depth of the women's peloton. I have to say, at the same time, it was never the women's tour's stated ambition to be the premier race in the women's calendar. I think that's something that we've all sort of put on the race itself because it's so well organised, because of the prize money, because of the profile. But at the same time, you would imagine, you know, they want the very best riders in the world. And I think they might have to look at the course if they're going to be able to do that in the next couple of years.
But I think those kind of climbs in the middle are going to make it really unpredictable. I think there'll be plenty of chances for breakaways. And I actually saw that Martin Vespi, who is the DS at Mitchelton Scott, said, you know, don't be blinded by those profiles, because actually it's a lot harder than it looks because it's constantly undulating. It's like kind of narrow country road. So it's got a bit more of a classics feel. So I think that he and the Mitchelton Scott team are not just focusing on those out-and-out sprints every day, but actually going to be thinking about breakaways and other opportunities. So I think it could, you know, could go any way on any day, apart from maybe the first day, which looks like it's sure to be a sprint. But I think that seeing like who Canyon SRAM have got, I think it will be animated from the very off.
I guess that's the thing as well with British roads that you forget when you just look at the race profile. They are notorious for being very narrow, windy, grippy, and it makes for a particular kind of racing, if indeed that's the kind of racing that's embraced on the road. I think it'll be up to the teams, to the riders themselves to animate this, and I really hope that they take it on.
Well, I spoke to the race director, Mick Bennett, about the course. Here's what he had to say.
Well, Mick, first of all, which of the five stages are you most looking forward to?
I think it's going to sound awfully crass, but all of them really, because they've got their own characteristics. I mean, one could arguably say, yes, the final stage into Colwyn Bay from Dungathlai will be the decision maker. But as you know, Richard, it's the riders that make the course, not the other way around. So if they decide to put the hammer down, it could all go away as it did into Kettering last year when Katia Nuadoma went into Kettering. It could all happen from Framlingham to Southwold, which is a flat stage for the sprinters. But if the right mood goes away, anything could happen. You know, they could let it go and game over.
There are a couple of top riders missing, and one or two comments about the lack of climbing. I know a couple of years ago it was quite a hilly course, the one that Lizzie Armitstead won. There aren't a lot of big climbs. Is that deliberate, and would it be something that you want to design into the course in the future?
Well, I think first and foremost, you've got to go where the politicians want you to go, i.e. the regional authorities. You know, they pay for the stage. So, you know, you can't, in Suffolk and Norfolk, for example, expect a hilly climbing stage because, you know, topographically and geographically it's not going to be. But I'd like to know who said that some of the top riders are staying away, because it's probably the strongest field we've ever had assembled.
Well, Ashley Moolman said certainly that she decided to skip it because she didn't feel it would suit her talents.
Well, I think, you know, that's one rider, but the final stage would certainly suit her talent, so I'm not too sure. I don't follow that. We're not in the Alps or the Pyrenees, we're in the UK.
Chute de l'arrière du peloton, cycling podcast team car, the back of the pack, please.
The voice of Seb Piquet there reminds me to tell you about our episode sponsor. And in fact, our first episode sponsor for the cycling podcast Femina is The Economist magazine. The Economist, of course, about far more than just economics and finance. It covers a range of subjects from politics, business, science, technology, arts and environment. The Economist helps readers prepare for what is going on in the world around them. And in today's dynamic world, facts matter more than ever. For over 170 years, The Economist has delivered trustworthy intelligence that helps people like you choose where to stand on the issues that matter. Orla, I set you the challenge of finding an article in The Economist that grabbed your interest. What did you find?
Yeah, there were quite a few actually, but the one I've gone for really struck me because of the current issue of single-use plastics, especially in sport. And it's one that's becoming more of an issue in cycling as well. There's an article in here talking about a new way to tackle the problem of single-use plastics. We all know about recycling, but researchers are turning to biology and they find that mealworms can actually break down plastic very well because there's something in their guts. So they did an experiment. They find that a chemical reaction in the guts of mealworms actually means that they convert the plastic into carbon dioxide. Now, as I say, single-use plastic, a massive issue everywhere at the moment, but certainly in sport. We've got Team Sky, for example. I'm crossing into the men's territory here, I'm afraid. They'll be sporting their ocean rescue jerseys for the Tour de France. Trek Segafredo have also pledged to cut down on the use of their single-use plastics and use much more of the reusable bottles. So it's just something that struck me as very interesting and encouraging. And I wonder, do we start to bring like little buckets of mealworms with us now to races and just like chuck our bottles in there?
Just don't keep them in the car. The Economist is a smart guide to the forces changing your world. Get your free copy now. Text BIKES, B-I-K-E-S, to 78070. That's BIKES to 78070 for your free print copy of The Economist magazine.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport. Fueled by science.
Thank you to Science in Sport for sponsoring the Cycling Podcast Femina, and especially for this the Women's Tour. Science in Sport are upping their offer, their discount offer, to 30% off for women only.
You can't do that.
I don't think you're allowed to do that. So
no.
So that's only, that doesn't really mean women only. I mean,
just borrow a female's
credit card.
My husband is going to make full use of this. He's very excited about the discount.
I'll tell him to look out for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I can. It's all right. I talk to him as
the
well.
The code is Women's Tour 30. That's Women's Tour 30. At scienceandsport.com. If you enter that code at the checkout, you will get 30% off all items, including those that are already on discount.
Ooh.
Incredibly. So for wow. this
Double
week
discount.
Only, for the duration of the Women's Tour, that offer applies. I think it starts actually on June the 13th. So it starts the day the Women's Tour begins, which is Wednesday. So fill your boots with Science and Sport products, and we're very grateful to them. We're also taking questions for the Canyon SRAM team. Science and Sport supply the Canyon SRAM team, and they've made them available to us to answer your nutrition questions. So if you've got any questions specifically for the pros about nutrition, send us to them this week. Contact at thecyclingpodcast.com, and we're sharing a hotel with them on Friday evening, and we're going to sit down with them and put some of your questions to them. We might not have time to play those answers during the Women's Tour, but they'll be in the next month's episode, which will be, I believe, from La Course.
Oh, yeah, it will be, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, what else are you looking forward to this week at the Women's Tour, folks?
Right, well, mine is a bit left field, because you said to us in advance, have a think about a team or a rider that you would like to concentrate on and something that you're looking forward to in the week ahead, right? So yeah, I'm a bit worried about saying this because I'm afraid that Richard might actually down tools, head into the house, unpack his bag and stay just sit in protest and not actually come in the race.
Oh, wow.
Your bag isn't packed, that's even better. The bit I'm most looking forward to is driving along to the start of stage one in Framlingham, bear with me, with Ed Sheeran blasting out on the radio,
oh,
Castle on the Hill, because Framlingham Castle is the castle on the hill.
Did not know that.
And I spend a lot of time driving in traffic in central London, and 3 hours per day. And sometimes I'll stick on Ed Sheeran's Castle on the Hill and pretend that I'm driving down these country roads, the sun is shining. And also the lyrics I quite like, because I had my first kiss in a Friday night, and I'm quite sure I didn't do it right. It has been a long time since me and my friends have thrown up. So there's so much that resonates. And so I'm looking forward to, we're sharing a car with Tom Carey of The Telegraph. So I'm very much looking forward to sticking on Ed Sheeran on the radio, putting up full blast, and the three of us having a good old sing-song on the road to Framlingham.
I have never knowingly listened to Ed Sheeran.
Yes, you have.
I have not. Yes, not you knowingly. Have. Not knowingly.
You knowingly listened because when we went skiing together earlier this year, you made that preposterous claim. And so I put Ed Sheeran on in the car.
I still wasn't. I wasn't concentrating.
But you knew it was Ed Sheeran.
I zone out. Filmed. Sometimes when you speak.
You took a video of us listening to Ed Sheeran. You're a charlatan.
I thought it was a news roundup. I just zoned out. I just stopped concentrating.
I will give you your second Ed Sheeran.
I still go on saying that I've never knowingly listened to, Ed Sheeran, never knowingly watched Top Gear either.
You can't watch Top Gear without knowing it.
Yeah, well, I've never
that
watched
means
Top
you've
Gear.
Never watched it.
Never watched
but it. Could be on, I suppose, in the background.
I do have a get out clause for you though, because actually in the song he says that they're driving down these country roads listening to Tiny Dancer. So we could actually put on Tiny Dancer instead if you want and reenact
more contextual.
Don't worry, I've got my own playlist. Rose.
We're not listening to depressing 80s music, Richard. It's not happening. Justin
Rose, what are you looking forward to?
Mine, it seems so boring.
I'm looking forward to Queen of the Mountains on stage three.
I was thinking, well, I was just going to say stage five, but now I just need to say something else.
Bring a bit of sense back into it. It's quite all right to talk about the racing. I feel like I've disgusted both of you.
I wish you could see the looks. The race.
I know.
Stage five in Wales.
You're looking forward to Wales.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I think that's going to be great. And that part of the world is absolutely stunning. But also, I mean, I think that the GC... I'm just listening to myself. I'm thinking, why am I not talking about Ed Sheeran? I can't believe it. But the GC race just builds and builds, builds and builds and builds. And I think that's where it's going to culminate because, all of the categorized climbs are kind of towards the end of the race. But on this stage five, it's also partly coastal at the beginning and the end. And I think there might be the chance of some good crosswinds right at the beginning of it before the two categorized climbs. So I'm hoping that's going to be a bit of a stunning stage.
Also, every time I go to Wales, every time the sun shines. Just putting it out there. I got heat stroke in Wales.
A community around the world. Stories and films with the most compelling characters. The world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa.
Thank you to our long-term headline sponsors, Rafa, for backing the cycling podcast, Femina. And a little reminder, I mentioned this last month, but the Rafa Women's 100 coming up on September the 15th. And in fact, we had an offer from Hannah Nicklin, one of our listeners, who offered to lead a cycling podcast Femina ride on September the 15th, which is the date of the Rafa Women's 100, which Rose and Orla are both doing. So thanks for that, Hannah. We'll definitely take you up on that. Rose and Orla will be in touch.
Richard in his kilt.
Now, what am I looking forward to? I'm just looking forward to trying to... We talk about giving the Women's Tour the Grand Tour treatment, and I think we've only got sort of 5 days to do it in, but we want to try and give it the same flavour as we try to give our Grand Tour coverage, which means talking about more than the racing, not talking about Ed Sheeran, but talking about the local food. But we were talking about this in relation to Britain and how perhaps there isn't the same emphasis on culinary delights in the UK as there is, and certainly in Italy, where we've just been. But there are other things. There are other things we can focus on. Could be literary, cultural links, places. We've asked already for people to send in things that we don't know about the places that we're going to. So we'll try and build up a picture, as colourful a picture as we can of where we are and what's happening in the places that we visit.
Yeah, because I've been doing my literary and cultural research already.
God. More than Ed Sheeran.
beyond Ed Sheeran, believe it or not. So I have got a few little things I'll be throwing in. Daniel Defoe wrote about one of the places that we're going to. Shakespeare gave a mention to somewhere as well. There is an inn along our route that featured in George Eliot's Middlemarch, and I believe that inn is still in existence. So we'll go and find that. I've
never read Middlemarch,
well.
Though, have you?
I've never read Middlemarch, no. And so my challenge to you,
if George Eliot had been a cyclist, she'd have ridden the Men's Tour de France under a pseudonym, wouldn't she?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like George
but she
Eliot.
Wasn't. You wonder what name she could come up with. But if you bring with you Middlemarch, I will read it en route. I'm an avid reader. And I particularly would like to read from, I think it's volume 3, chapter 23, which is where the inn is mentioned. And I've found some local poets and whatnot, so I'll be waxing lyrical.
You know George Eliot wasn't a real name, don't you?
Are you for real, Richard? What kind of a Philistine do you think I am?
Well, just the way you said that earlier, I wasn't sure. What was her real name?
I don't actually know what her real name was. I don't actually know, but I know it wasn't George Eliot.
Rose, you're the academic.
I should be. I should be, but I don't know. I mean,
Have you just Googled
Marianne
Evans? I can see that literally Wikipedia is up there.
Please do not pretend any claim to intellectual dominance in this conversation.
You silly women, don't you know?
Don't you know you can simply Wikipedia these matters and have the answer at your fingertips within a matter of seconds?
There's going to be a lot of that this week, I think.
Yeah. Wikipedia.
As long as I've got Google at hand. Anyway.
You might not.
Anything else?
Not,
anything else we're looking forward to this week? Food?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to food.
I like just to eat.
Eating.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to, actually? Because a feature of when you guys do the grand tours is very much the wine and the alcohol. Mm. So I don't drink alcohol. So I'm looking forward to sampling teas along the way. I would like to see what kind of different teas that we get, because that's very British, isn't it? I'm hoping to find some unusual blends.
Stick to the beer, I think. And it starts actually at Adnam's Brewery,
yes,
doesn't it?
That's
or
correct.
Finishes yeah. in the place.
I love how when you said I'm sticking to the beer, Richard gave you a wink. Conspiratorial. You can have your tea, Orla. What a pour off.
I'm just relieved. Well, we better go and get ourselves ready, well, I'll start packing my bag, or you can put the finishing touches to yours, maybe remove that mat.
I need to learn the lyrics to Tiny Dancer so I can live and breathe the song.
Yeah. Well, let's reconvene in Ipswich tomorrow, folks.
Yes. And,
I'm on my way. We are
lovely self-conscious singing.
I know, it was very self-conscious, wasn't it? I'll be able to blast it in the car when Ed Sheeran's doing backup vocals.
I'll secretly record you.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's meet in Ipswich and cover the women's tour from Wednesday to Sunday. Looking forward to it.
Let's
Thank
do
you,
it.
Orla.
Yes. Thank you both.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you both.
A cycling podcast, Femina, in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You've been listening to the cycling podcast Femina at the Ovo Energy Women's Tour. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rafa, Science and Sport and Skoda. The music you've heard in this episode is by Glass Pear and bensound.com. Big thanks to them as well. This episode has been produced by Tom Wally.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.